The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Is God good to you? Are you expecting something? I'm going to say this. I'll emphasize. Let me say this. See, the month of November, the Lord said, this month is our month of excellence. Excellence. Amen. Are you game? Are you game? You see, you don't even learn it. Are you game? Are you ready? Okay. Praise God. It's our month of excellence. Praise God. But I'll go to that before I'm done with this teaching. What are we going to title this today? Ooh, hallelujah. First of all, say something wonderful to the person by your side. You see why it's good when you come to church, you stay beside people you don't know so that you can receive fresh compliments every Sunday morning. So tell something sweet to that person, something. Make sure it's true. Just something. Say you look beautiful. I'm seeing you for the first time. What is your name? Tell the person, I love your trouser. I love your gown. I love your hair. Hallelujah. Man, I'm talking about money this morning. Hallelujah. So I don't want to title it. I'm talking about money this morning. I hope it will excite you as much as it's doing now when I start. Because, amen. So today, this Sunday and next Sunday, I'll be talking about money. I'll be addressing the issue of money, and this teaching would bless you. And one of the things the Lord shared with me last night when I was praying over this, the Lord said, you see, as we begin to teach on this, I'm not saying this to excite you, of course, you know. As we begin to teach on this, begin to prepare your hearts for financial miracles. Are you getting me? I'll be teaching. I'm not talking about miracles this morning. I may get that at the end. But then as we're teaching, you can prepare yourself. And I'm not going to say, well, let me just say this. You know, if you're here and someone, people, and you've been owed. See, this week, from this morning as I'm teaching, before the end of this meeting, some of you start receiving their alerts. And before the end of this week, you will see those things happen. So I'm talking about money this morning. But as I begin to teach in that direction, it will begin to happen. I'm not talking about it so much this morning. But as I begin to teach that direction, it will begin, whether I say it or not, it's not just like when I begin to teach on healing. I don't need to plan to heal. Once I touch it on healing, healing will start taking place. As I'm talking about money this morning, just get your heart set. Things will happen to you. Amen. And some of you that have visions that are hanging and it's because of finance, get said, we are going to unlock those things from this morning. Again, we're going to unlock them. So begin to prepare your heart. November and December, see what the Lord said I should say. You see, that was August. It was August I said this. I said, it was August or September, I said, the fund that will enter your hand within those 2 months, one of those months I mentioned, will be more than everything that has entered there. Remember this? Yes. And many of you testified to that. And I'm saying it again. For November, December, you would have 2 to 3 times of everything you've had from January to October. And I'd like you to take note. See, listen, the mark of a prophet is that anything he says will come to pass. So take hold of what I'm saying. I'm not entertaining you. I'm not exciting you. I'm not making you happy. Amen. Just take note. Hallelujah. So let's start talking about it this morning. So I'll touch a lot of things. I'll touch the issue of prosperity. I'll touch the issue of covetousness. You know, very recently, there was this teaching that came up in the body of Christ. And is among grace, new creation, worded believers. And they began to teach and to make it look like it was a sin to prosper. I've even heard people say things like, that what God wants for you is just for you to have enough. No, not enough, just for you to have your needs met. I've heard that kind of teaching. God doesn't want you to have too much, just your needs. Let your needs just be met. We're going to look at that from the word of God this morning. Hallelujah. God just wants my need met. He doesn't want me to have too much. And others have said things like, I don't want to have too much myself. I will not be proud. And people say things like, God, that before God gives you money, he's going to watch your heart. and watch your whether you can carry, whether you can handle the money, you see, and then he will give it to you. Hallelujah. And that's a very interesting, that's a very terrible thing to say, especially coming from believers. You know, I used to tell my friends, I said, have you come up, you watch all these rich Arab kids, you know, where they spend their money, some of them 40 years, 15 years, they have so much oil money, and these guys are not born again. They don't even practice Christianity, and they have so much. And I said, God will let those ones have money, and then me, that is his child, you have to weigh my character and weigh my heart before he allows me to have money. Are you getting the point? It's a very, you don't even need the Bible to know that that's not true. Hallelujah. 3 John chapter 2. Oh, chapter 1 verse 2. No, 3 John 20, sorry. Verse 2. Don't look at me like that. I mean 3 John verse 2. Before you start looking for chapter 20. Hallelujah. 3 John verse 2. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Actually, because of this teaching, this stream of teaching I'm telling you about, a lot of people have bounced on this verse to do a lot of exegesis, all in an attempt to prove that that word prosper there is not talking about money. That it's talking about, I don't know what they say it's talking about. Well, that verse used in this verse, is not just about money. Actually, it means to be successful, to have, you know, it sometimes used for in making journey, in traveling. Have a successful endeavor. But he said, I wish above all things that you prosper. See, I would like to know this. Prosperity is God's will. Are you see here? It's God's will. He said, even as your soul prospers. Look at NLT. He said, dear friend, I hope all is well with you. And you are healthy. But he said, all is well with you. So it's not just talking about money. It's talking about all being well with you. And that definitely will include money. Is that true? So it is God's will that you prosper. And if you're doubting this verse, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. That's one of the strongest verses on our prosperity. Look at that's 9 verse 8. Now he said, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now this verse may look complicating to you. Once we use NLT, put up NLT. I know you don't know English, so let's use NLT. Let me help your English life. Amen. Okay, let's read together from the screen. 1, 2, 3, go. And God will generously provide what? Then you will always have everything you need and what? Plenty left over to share. Is that talking about prosperity? He said you will have all you need, not just all you need, but what? Plenty left over. So, this is God's will. God wants you to have everything you need and then have extra to share with others. And that to me is prosperity. Let me tell you this. If the only thing God provides for us are the things we need, then he shouldn't ask us to give. You got to say, if the only thing God provides for us are our needs, I need a phone and I get money to buy the phone, I need a car, I get money to buy the car, and that is all, then he shouldn't ask me to give, because after meeting my needs, there's nothing left over. How are you going to talk about today? God's will for you is prosperity. So while we start teaching on this, I'd like you to keep this somewhere. The Bible tells us in Genesis 39 that Joseph went into Potiphar's house and prospered. But because of him, the house of Potiphar began to prosper. So actually that prosperity is not spiritual prosperity. At least you know that one now. You see, he prospered physically, financially. And so while we begin to teach on this, just keep this somewhere in your mind that it is God's will that I prosper. It is God's will. He said, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. This is God's will. Hallelujah. And then so, but I know why this teaching came up, and that's because of one issue I'm going to address shortly, and that's the issue of covetousness. People are trying to misplace, you know, to replace covetousness with prosperity. You see, listen, God doesn't want us to be covetous. And then what is covetousness? Luke chapter 12 verse 13. Let's look at NLT. Luke 12 13. You're going to read and you're going to see what Jesus calls covetousness. It's not about having money. It's about something else. Luke 12 13. Are you there? Are you there? Look at the screen. Then someone called from the crowd, teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Next verse. Jesus replied, friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that? Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of what? Now, in the King James, he said, towards the great what? What does he call it in King James? What does he call it? Did you see that? Beware. Go back to NLT. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by what? How much you own. We are about to define covetousness. We're already seeing it. That's why people are saying songs like, life's all about the money. That's a covetous spirit. Because life cannot be all about the money. Are you getting me? If we don't make money, we gain a lot of things. Jesus is more than gold. Hallelujah. It's not just a joke, it's true. He said, life is not measured by how much you own. Okay, continue. Verse 16. Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm. I like this parable. That produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Okay. You know, this parable makes it look like Jesus was angry that this guy had money. But we're going to see. Then he said, I know I would tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I will have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. Okay. And I will sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Okay? But God said unto him, you fool, you will die this night. You know, you see the way the parable is going. It's looking like God just said, you think it's all about having money, I'll kill you this night. And that's why Jesus did not say, I'll kill him. You get the point? I don't see what was not written. Then who will get everything you worked for? Now continue. Is a fool. Please calm down. You're going to see. He's going to define covetousness or greed. And what the problem just had with that man. He's defining it. A person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. Proceed. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. Verse 23. For life is more than what? And your body is more than, okay? Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but God feeds them. And you are far more valuable than to him, okay, than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Can it? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't walk or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Okay? And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today are thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. How many of you believe that? So why do you have so little faith? Okay, verse 29. And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. Okay? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your father already knows your needs. Verse 31. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. He will give you everything you need. 32. So don't be afraid, little flock. For it gives your father a great happiness to give you the kingdom. Verse 33. We'll stop at 34. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be saved. No thief can steal it and no moth can destroy it. Verse 34 is what I'm going to. Wherefore your treasure is. Okay, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. What was Jesus teaching about in this place? Was he against having money? First thing you notice, he addressed the issue of covetousness. He said a man's life does not consist of what? In the abundance of this he has. It's not about how much you own. Then he began to teach about worry. So in one sentence, I can say God is not against you having money. God is against money having you. You know what I said? And that's when, you see, people say, it's all about money. Once I make money, I have blow. All I'm thinking about now is money. If you're like that, you're a covetous person. That's a very terrible attitude towards finance. When everything, and there are believers like that, everything, all their decision, everything is centered around money. Who are you going to marry? How much does he have? Where are you going to live here or live there? How much will I get paid? What job are you going to do? How much do they pay? Are you what I'm talking about? That's a terrible way for a believer to make decisions. And if you are like that, you find out you're a covetous person. That's the first thing Jesus is talking about here. Second thing he addresses here is the issue of worry. When you live your life and you get, that's why you see, covetousness does not, you don't have to be rich to be covetous. For the rich, what is covetousness in this chapter? When he says, my life is all about my money. For the poor, what is it? Worry. Did you get it now? Because see, and there's every 10 days that a poor man will worry about money. So you just sleep every time. Some people, you can't rest again. You're worried about money. You're not even committed in church again. You feel miserable because you don't have money. It's a terrible way to think. That is not God's plan for you and finance. If you come to that point where everything that matters to you is money, you can't sleep well because of money. You can't make right decisions because of money. You can't think straight because of money. You see, you are tending towards covetousness. And so you see, a poor man can be covetous. A rich man can be covetous. Are you still here? In fact, there is more tendency for a poor man to be covetous than the rich. Are you getting the point? Because you see, he that is down, this fear no fall. When you have money, you're not coveting anything. It's when you don't have that anything that passes you, you want it. Somebody's car passes, begin to covet the car. So you see, covetousness, first of all, is to have a state of heart where everything that matters to you is money. It was Brother Hagin that made that statement. God is not against you having money. God is against money having you. Many people, their money owns them. Their money controls them. Both the abundance of it and the lack of it controls them. So when there is no money, and some of you, your mood, money affects your mood. Once you don't have money, anybody, and some people, you notice, once there is lack, their commitment in church begins to go down. That's a very terrible attitude towards cash. If you are like that, you're a covetous person. And it will not be long, you will begin to compromise because of money. Are you getting me? How do you think ladies get to the point of, you see, every lady loves their body. But you see them get to the point of begin to sell their body because of money. It doesn't start in a day. You get the point? It begins by allowing money take over you. Then gradually you begin to do things you are not supposed to do because of it. How do you think, guys, and that's I'm going to deal with some things this morning. You see, some guys, you know, in our generation, you know, I taught you on the sojourn, as you remember. I told you I'm not from here. And there's a third pattern people of this world have. People are trying to justify Yahoo. Justify G. Say there's nothing wrong with it. It's a crime. You are covetous. Anything, you see, once money begins to make you compromise your standards, you are covetous. I get the point. You see, people say if you steal, it's wrong, but when you do G, it's right. Do you know what is G? Now let me explain to you what Yahoo is. All you know is that you press the system and money entered your account. That money that entered your account might be someone's labor for 10 years. I don't get the point. Might be someone, that money that entered the account, you just crumbled, you might have crumbled somebody's business. So don't just say, I don't care, you should care. And if you're like that, you can do anything because of money. You're a covetous person. That's a terrible attitude towards money. You're a covetous person. And so, first of all, you see, you don't compromise because of money. You don't allow money take over. You don't allow money own you. Okay, look at verse 21. Let's go to verse 21. Let's read that verse again. I would like us to read verse 21 boldly from the screen. We're going to echo it so that even people that don't want to read it will hear it. Once we go, let's read it. A person is a fool. Now verse 22. After he said, then Jesus turning to his disciples said, that's why I tell you not to worry. So how, so when you store up earthly stores for yourself here, you're a fool. When everything you have or you think, anything that makes you who you are is what I have, how many cars I have, how much I have in my account. And that's why some of you, your sense of worth and value is attached to your bank account. That's a terrible thing. And how you see people is how much they have. You know that's how the world system is. They're going to go to Japan. And once they notice someone that was not greeting you well, once he sees your car, he doesn't like greeting you. He says, how are you? Now, I was not ignoring you that time. Many things on my mind. Like, it's not like I was ignoring. And if all is happening, his assessment is based on money. And if I like that, it's not a good way for a believer to think. And one proof that you are not laying up treasure for yourself on earth here is worry. You know, he said, when a man lives in worry, That man is laying up treasure for himself on earth. Why? The Bible makes it so clear. Where a man's heart is, that's where his treasure is. So if your heart is always on how much I have or how much I don't have, you see, your treasure is here on earth. So it's not enough to say God first. You know, say, what are your priorities in life? You say, number one, God. No. It's not just by saying it. You have to check your heart. I hope when you want to get married, it will still be number one, God. Or you can marry a born-again Yahoo boy. A spiritual-filled prostitute. Tongue-talking and brother. It's not like that. He steals money once in a while, but it's not really like that. And a Holy Ghost-filled drunkard. Because everything, you see, I hope when it comes to those important decisions, let me tell you this. One proof that money doesn't have its hold on you is that when you want to make decisions, that should not be the money. You know what I'm saying? You know, and that's why, you know, you say, I have two job opportunities. Which one should I go for? The normal worldly person will ask you, what are the salaries? And I say, this one is 100,000, the other one is 180,000. Are you still praying? Has God not asked? Can't you see? And you see, that's a terrible way to make decisions. Now, the person will ignore the conditions surrounding the job. You get some of those, you get a job that will not even allow you time to do anything. You know, I was talking about it in that message, touch on us. You see, you ignore God, ignore your spiritual life, ignore even family. I have some families today, because of the pursuit of wealth and how much they've prioritized it, you find out even in their family, children are suffering. You get the point? They hand over their kids to mates, and they deal with them. And after an answer, I'm sacking you and say, why would they, did they give birth to them? They don't understand what you pass through. You are the only one that can take care of those kids. But because it's all about money for you, you finally grow up. You see, that's why, you see, there are some things personally, I'm not against it, but I'm just telling you, I won't do it. And if you're very close to me, I won't let you do it. People give birth to children and then travel abroad, leave their kids in Nigeria, come back after 15 years. What's wrong with you? You're sending money. It's the money they will eat. You are an irresponsible parent. Are you what I'm talking about? You are. Because you prioritize, it's all about how much. If you want to go abroad, bring your children there. Train them, to be with them. Some of you don't understand that child training is beyond sending money. I hope you know that. It's beyond sending money and transferring. Anybody can send money. A rich boyfriend can send money to the girlfriend. You don't have to be somebody's father to send money to the person. I know what I'm talking about. And that's why you find out that some of you came from homes that are not too rich, but have a very rich relationship with your parents. They didn't give you everything, but they were there for you. That's more than money. You may not know. You want to be Dangote's child. So, you see, first of all, comes to how you place priority on these things. So I say it again. God is not against me having money. What is God against? Money having me. Let's read verse 33. Let's read it again. Verse 33. And this is what we call materialism. That's what we call materialism. And you will still see that this is what Jesus calls serving God and serving mammon. I'll say come down shortly. What I say, see, you cannot serve God and mammon. As some translations even said, you cannot serve God and money. I'll just explain what mammon is shortly. He says, sell your possessions. Give to those in need. What is he teaching here? In this verse? What? Giving, right? Now, he said, this will stop. So, look at this verse closely. How do you store up treasures for yourself in heaven? Look at that verse closely. How? You see, when you have your money and you get consumed by it, keep it to yourself only, spend it on yourself only, flex yourself only, your treasure is here. One proof that your treasure is not here is sell your possessions, give those in need. You know a man who prioritizes heaven above earth by how much he gives. I don't get the point. So you see, God is not against you having money. But God is against you having the wrong attitude towards money. I'll come to this attitude next week. He's against money having you, taking control of you. Look at 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. You see this giving thing come up again. And this storing up treasure for yourself in heaven. What does it mean to store treasure for yourself in heaven? You see, teach those, look at this verse, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be where? in God, who does what? Richly gives us all we need for our what? So does this verse confirm that God wants us to have money? You see, but then look at what it says, verse 18. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. Always be ready to share with others. Now, verse 19. By doing this, they will be doing what? Storing up their treasure as a good foundation. So when Bible talks about storing up treasure in heaven, what's he talking about there? Giving. Are you still here? We'll address that next week, not today. Hallelujah. So, but all I have to show is that covetousness or storing up treasure for yourself in heaven, on earth, is not talking about not having money. I get the point. It's talking about your attitude towards the money. Money should not have you. Money should not control you. And your money should not be everything you are known for. And that's how the world system is. That's how the world is. Everybody wants to show up how much they have. Hallelujah. And that maybe you look at them, that pure money misroads. The money doesn't fit them. You get the point? Because everywhere. And that's a terrible attitude because everything about them is money. And let me say this to you. God, I'm going to say now. You see, the reason you think that when you have money, everything about you will change is because you don't have it yet. You get the point? That people always have these tendencies of thinking that when they get what they're looking for, their problem will be solved. You will not know that your problem will not be solved until you get it. How long of you sought admission for long? For like 2, 3, 4 years. Anybody like that? You looked for admission for a very long time. Let me see your hand. And you've gotten it now. Now, do you observe that before you gain the admission, your mind was telling you that once I get this admission, let me get it first. Once I get it, everything is over. By the time you now enter, do first year. By second year, you're wondering, is this it? Is there another thing? Because life has a way of making you believe that your problem is what you don't have. Until you get that thing you have, you find out that thing is not your problem. As some of you, you don't have girlfriends. Your mind is telling you that once you get a girlfriend, now your life will change. Until you get the girlfriend, you're not thinking of how to run out. Say, Daddy, can you break this relationship for me? No, you are here to stay. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, see some people in school, especially in the university system, you get into the school, you know, in the university, it's like everybody has a boyfriend or girlfriend. People are pairing. All over. Some are even polygamous. Hallelujah. And you find them all over the place. And something, when you now see them, your mind will now tell you, hi. When will my own day come? These people are enjoying, you know. Until you finally get into a relationship, the way you jump out. And by then they've tried one or two relationships and they start saying things like, I'm focusing on my career. I'm not into men. I'm just, see, they've broken your heart. You know your problem. Just find a way to platform of grace. Somewhere around this avenue, we will heal your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. But you find, what I'm trying to say is, don't always think that the only thing lacking in your life now is money. And once you get it, you have made it. It may not really be true. I've gone to pray for men. I ministered in the church. I was ministering one woman. A woman, I don't want to call her name, very popular woman in this state. She just said, can I talk to you? I said, okay, fine. So she said, I don't know how much time you have. I want you to go to my house and all that. So we see her house. She was living in a very fine house, building another duplex by the side. And she was complaining. She was crying. My house, if she cries, I'll look around the house. And guess what she was crying about? Money. You know, that's the thing. Human needs are insatiable. He said, even this house I'm building out there, my husband is not even supporting. I'm the one doing it with my money alone. I've spent over 8 million naira on that building project. I said, wow, you're really suffering. And I'm telling you, he said, you're really passing through a lot. In my mind, I said, this man. I said, just give me your tithe. Hallelujah. But that's how human needs are. Your mind tells you all you're lacking now in your life is money. But that's not always true. Come to a point of contentment. We'll talk about that next week. And contentment doesn't mean relaxing with poverty. No. Contentment is having a state of mind where whether you have or you do not have, does not affect anything around you. It will not make you less joyful. It will not make you less peaceful. It will not make you cry more or give more. You find out whether you have or you don't have. You see, Paul talked about it in Philippians chapter 4. He said, I've learned how to abound and how to abase. Get point? I've learned how to live when I have everything and how to live when I have nothing. That's contentment. So while you're looking for more money, because all of us are looking for more money, that's the truth. While you're working, hustling, doing all that, there is contentment in your heart. You are not driven by it. The presence or absence of it will not change anything. And you will not compromise because of it. Hallelujah. As some of you are working in companies or working in offices where the abuse is stealing money, doing a lot of crazy stuff, and you come in there and you join them to do that same thing. You are an embarrassment to your pastor. Get the point? There are things you don't do. There are things you don't do. Now money begins to make you begin to compromise, and tomorrow you now tell them, come to my church. To come and do what? And that's the problem. When you invite such people to church, when they finally come, they are looking at all of us like you. They think all of us are like you. Because when we start speaking to you, start speaking to you, they say, I see not this one. Okay, that's how they are in this church. And that's why you must watch it. Let me talk about this conversation. Let me address the issue of mammon. Matthew chapter 6 verse 19. Matthew 6 verse 19. So don't let money have you. Lay up treasure for yourself in heaven. Don't let money have you. Don't let money control you. Everything is not about money. Matthew 6:19. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Okay? Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Okay? Verse 21. Wherever your treasure is, what did he say? There the desires of your heart will also be. Now verse 22. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body, and when your eye is good, your body is filled with light, okay? But when your eye is bad, okay, let's go to next verse. Let's just because of our time. No one can serve, that's what I'm going to. Look at the screen. No one can serve two masters at a time. You will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. NLT now says, you cannot serve both God and money. King James calls it mammon. But we're going to see what Jesus is talking about here. And what people read into this verse is, you cannot have both God and money. You either have money or you have God. Or you have God, you don't have money. And the people talking, saying these things are working in companies, praying for promotion. What is promotion if not more money? I get the point. Let's continue. Verse 25. Let's see what Jesus meant by serving God and mammon. He said, that is why I tell you. Why does he say, what does he mean by that is why? When I say that is why, what's he talking about? The previous verse, right? What did the previous verse say? Don't serve God and mammon. He now says, that is why I tell you not to what? So how do you serve God and mammon? When you begin to worry and let money take over you and consume you, you are serving God and mammon. Is it very clear? Not to worry about life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? So to serve mammon is not having money. To serve mammon is allowing money consume you, worrying about it. And I don't know about you, but you see, the poor have more tendencies of falling for this. I get the point. And I'm saying this is both an encouragement and a rebuke for some of you. I know the way things are going around you, and some of it has made you reduce your effectiveness in church and even your commitment to your spiritual life. Many of it has made you reduce your effectiveness, even scattered a lot of things around you. Please don't be like that. You are allowing the thing to take over you. That is, life is more than how much you have. I get what I'm saying. Life is more than all those things. Have I been in times when I didn't have anything? Yeah, it's true. With all these things, when pastors are talking, looks like all is well with us. Sometimes things are not well. Hallelujah. But you must come to, imagine I come to church one day. You see, that's what some of you do. You say, why not in church today, sir? I didn't have money. Imagine you come to church and Pastor Cynthia comes up and says, praise God, pastor cannot be in church today. He doesn't have money. How does that sound? Sincere, right? He will not be here today. Let's pray and believe God that by Thursday, he will have money. When I come to church, I just carry a mic and I say, brethren, things are not well for me. I'm suffering. Now, and that's why today, no preaching. I couldn't even have time to prepare a message. You see, once you get to that point in your life as a Christian, or as a believer, as a minister, where money, the presence or the absence of it begins to control everything you do, you are beginning to serve mammon. And because those two gods cannot go together. You see, God and mammon, they can't go together. They can't. And the next thing that it will lead to is compromise. You get the point? And I'm saying this, and you have to take correction if you must. If you're here and you started compromising because of money, somebody called me. I know he might listen to this message. I'm thanking God for his life too. You see, called me. The devil can make you see offers. Just got there and then he went for an audition, all this modeling, whatever, and he got the modeling stuff. He got it. And they said, well, that actually what you are going to do is a guy. What you are going to do for us to give you this. They brought three ladies. I'm telling you, this Enugu. I say he was going to sleep with three of them. One of them is even older than him, like auntie. Going to sleep with three of them and another guy. These three girls and this guy. And they were going to pay him, was it in millions of naira? You'd have thought the guy would just say, no, I'm standing for Jesus. They didn't cut him. He now started calling me. He said, that's why sometimes when your head begins to behave like that, just look for somebody to call. Call Pastor Henry. We'll always be there. I just said, where are you right now? He said, sir, I'm outside. I'm just, do you want to do it? Sir, should I be sincere? Yes. I'm considering it. You know, and you see, those things, why would he consider that kind of thing? The thing has taken time to build up in his heart. It starts with worry about money. It begins to build up. And I just muttered a word of prayer for him. That time, what he needed was not Bible. I muttered a word of prayer. I wanted to get what I was praying, Father, just give me the right words to say to this guy now for him to come back. Because you know that kind of thing. He can tell me, okay, I will not do it. I end the call. I'm going. I'm not there. So I just said, Father, the right was. Immediately I just got it. Boom. I just asked him a question. I said, why do they want you to sleep with them? Is it that they so much need sex and there's nobody to sleep with them? Don't you think there is something more to that? He said, it's true. I said, it's true. Now carry your bag. Carry your Bible. If there is no keke around you, be running until you get home. Don't stop. Hallelujah. But no, you can get to that point. In this Enugu, what I'm telling you is not more than it's not 1 month now. This thing happened. In this Enugu. And you see, there are many things that can bring you down. If you just allow the whole money thing to take over you. So we are preaching prosperity. We are not preaching covetousness. We are not preaching giving into money. We are not preaching losing your sense. So everything now becomes about money. And this compromise talked about is far. What of taking bribes in your office? What of taking bribe? What of compromise? Simple compromise. It starts from compromising over 10 naira, 15 naira. And some ladies to compromising, you see yourself going out with a guy that you are so sure you do not like, you will not date, and you will never marry in this life. Just because he wants to give you ice cream. Or because he wants to give you pizza. I'm telling you, all over the place. And you don't know that gifts are very powerful. I hope you know that. Gifts are powerful. You will start receiving and say, I don't care. I'll just be getting it. Nothing will happen. Continue. If you get to a point, you feel indebted to the person. When the person asks for anything, you don't know how to say no again. It's not like, I don't want to do it, but he has done so much for me. Hallelujah. You must not, you see, that's compromise. You shouldn't go out with that guy, but you're doing it because of money. And sometimes I used to tell ladies, if you want to compromise something big. Pizza, how much? That's even if they give you, no, that's not 2.5. All over the place. 1.5, all over the place. And you're compromising for it. And these things, you are doing them from secondary school, you started compromising for buns and bread buns. We thought things would get better when you grow, but look at where you are now. Hallelujah. So me say, I say I will have money, but money cannot own me. Maybe next week I'll touch the issue of the love of money is the root of all evil. I'll touch it next week because actually God is not against you loving money. Take it to anywhere. Because if you say God is against you loving money, I'm sure you love money. You don't love money? You do. And even if you say I don't, we know you. So I'm going to address that next week. Amen. God is not against you loving money. It's still about this same thing. Money should not own you. Money should not own you. I want to see believers that will be able to turn down job offers, not minding the amount, because this will make me go against my faith. Turn down job offers because, you see, if I take this offer, sometimes they give you jobs that they expect you to work from 7 to 7 and even work on Sunday. And they will say, we'll give you 1 week off when you work on Sunday. So you just be attending church once every month. And that's how it starts. Before you know, you start going there. Before you know, you've forgotten how tongues used to sound. I'm telling you. And I'm saying, you can't remember how tongues used to sound again. Say, what's tongues again, sir? They say, pray, you can do it. You can flow in it. You know? Because you've given it, and it keeps going down and going down. I need people that can be able to make choices and say, see, actually, I need this money. I will not deny the fact that I need it, but there is more to life than these things. And let me say again, prosperity, I just want to say, what is prosperity? Prosperity is not, because I want to correct this, it's not what people call wealth transfer. You've heard of wealth transfer, where the people believe that God is transferring the wealth of the wicked to the church. Have you heard of such teachings? That is not true. It's not true. God is not doing that. You get the point? God is not doing that. Please take it anywhere. Say God is transferring the wealth of the wicked and it's going into the hands of the church. Like in this season, there will be spiritual wealth transfer from the account of the wicked and unbelievers into the account of believers. You wait in vain. You wait in vain. Actually, what you don't realize about God is that He is good to everybody. Remember I've told you that. Luke 6 verse 35. Put it up. Luke 6 35. There's nothing like that. And those things are gotten from things that happened in Genesis that are misinterpreted. Luke 6:35. Look at the screen. Love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be great, and you will truly be acting as what? Children of the Most High. Now, what is the character of the Most High? For He is kind to those who are what? Unthankful and wicked. So you don't think that God will refuse to give an unbeliever money because they're an unbeliever. I don't think God will now collect the money in their account and give to you. No. And then I think, we don't have to look at all that today, but there are scriptures that look like it's talking about these things. Like the issue of Isaac, we'll get to that today, where Isaac dug a well, remember that place? And then the well yielded its increase. And people say, well, that was the wealth of the Egyptians. No. He did business. His business paid off. You get the point? He didn't mean that he didn't pay it off. I'm not saying God can make unbelievers give to you. He can make everybody, believers and unbelievers alike, give to you. It doesn't mean God is moving their wealth into your account. That's not prosperity. If you are believing God for a time when biggest money will start moving into the church account, it will not happen. No? Hallelujah. It will not happen. It will not happen. Hallelujah. So you find out that I mentioned just about this, but I don't want to look at it. I'm just going somewhere. You see, God can cause people to give to you, but that is not God moving their money into your account. Hallelujah. And this, let me say it again, prosperity is not just about God trying to give back to you because you gave to Him. Because most people, they think the only way God prospers is when you give 10,000, He will now look at the money in His pocket and now give you 100,000 and multiply it tenfold. You see, there is a blessing for giving. I'll come to that. But don't think that prosperity is all about God giving to you because you gave. And listen, if God will wait for me to give before He gives to me, then He's not a good God. We are doing business straight by butter. I get the point. And see, and I say it all the time, God is not a Ponzi scheme. It's not MMM. It's not where you give, 10,000 and refer 5%. But that's what they do. When you give 10,000 in church and do evangelism, that's you refer 5%. Do you understand? God will now increase it to 1 million. No, that's not it. You see, God blesses us because He's a good God. How many of you believe that God is a good God here? Because He's a good God. That's why you see, even people that have not given to Him, that don't even care about Him, He gives to them. And where this thing comes from is Luke 6 verse 38. Just get to verse 38 of this Luke 6. That's where this whole thing of God giving back to you, where you give to Him, comes from. He said, give and you will receive. your gifts will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine what? You see, once you read it, you say, ah, sir, but it's so clear in this verse. You see, just go back to verse 37. Before we get to this, before we go to verse 36 or verse 38. Okay, let's do it together. 1, 2, 3, go. And you will not be judged. Do not condemn others. Forgive others. Now, verse 38. Give, it shall be given. You get the point? He's talking about, you see, give, it shall be given unto you. Put up King James, you see. He's talking about human interaction. Forgive others, they will forgive you back. That's how men are. Look at verse 37. Go back to 37. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Now, before you move, if you judge not, who will not judge you? You will think it's God, but we're going to see who will not judge you. If you condemn not, who will not condemn you? You will see. If you forgive not, or if you forgive, who will forgive you back? Let's see. Verse 38. Give and shall be given to you. Good measure, praise and shaking together and all that. Now, go to the last part of the verse. For with the same measure that you meet with her, it shall be measured to you again. But before he gets to that point, he said, give shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall God, Abi? Is that what he said? Shall who? Men give into. So he's talking about human relationship. You know this is how man is. If you care for people, they will care for you back. If you forgive people, they will forgive you back. Man is just like that. If you give them, they will give to you back. Is that not true? If you pour tea, put for my cup, I go pour tea, put for your cup. You know, that's how man is. He's not talking about God. So don't think that God is sitting in heaven and asking Angel Michael to begin to assess everybody's offering. How much is that? Now, some of you do that on your wedding date. On your wedding day, sorry. When they bring you, give you an envelope, you press it. Press it, shake it, and I say, give him sieve. Yeah, I don't just press, yeah, spoon, just one spoon. Other people will now call the press, bring out that Android phone, give them. Amen, don't be like that. That's how man is anyway. I would say don't be like that. But you see, but that's not how God is. But you see, God is good. God's goodness is not a reaction to our goodness. God's goodness is his nature. You get the point? The gift of God is not a reaction to our goodness. The highest gift God can ever give was the gift of himself. And he gave that gift of himself while we were yet sinners. Are you getting the point? When we didn't care about him, he didn't ask us to even change before he gave it. He just gave it. So when he now comes to giving you 5 naira or 10 million, he will now say, how much of a giver are you? No, that's not God. That's if you're here, you believe in God to bless you financially, and something is telling you that the reason why God will not bless you financially is because you've not given enough. Let me give you an advice. Start giving. Be a giver. I'll go to that maybe later in this teaching. You see, but don't ever think that that is the basis on which or through which God will bless you. No, that's not it. It's not on that basis that God will bless you. God is a good God. How many of you believe that? God is a good God. Period. Nothing more. He's just a good God. He gives. Bible tells us he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. So you're not unthankful and not evil. So if he's kind to them, why would he be good to you? Hallelujah. So he gives. He gives. So when we're talking about prosperity this morning, I'm not talking about a system where you give to get. Well, let me say this. I'll address it better next week. I said this when I was talking about partnering with God. Now, I did not say that when you give, nothing happens. Something happens when you give. Even physically on earth. Like, can someone get blessed for giving? Yes. Well, I think I've shown you how that happens here. You notice that when you give to God, it's actually man you are giving the money to, through us. Because man is God's method. Remember? So when you give to God, you see, you give to a man. Maybe we're in this church now, we have need of 25 million. And while we are all thinking of how to get it, somebody just stands up and says, Pastor, don't worry. I'm sending it to your account. What do you think you are going to do? No, there is prayer. Nice to tell you. There is something somebody will do for you. You say, kneel down, let me pray for you. Several times when a person does it, you kneel down. You, the man of God, will kneel down. I say, let me pray for you. And that's how, and when I now pray for you, blessings will come. And the blessings are not coming because of the money, but because I prayed. But you notice, because I am man, I need that money to be able to pray well. Look, but I'm just, you know men are carnal, natural, like what I'm talking about. And is this in the Bible? Yes, it's in the Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. My point is, giving can make men bless you. You get the point? Giving can make men bless you. And when they bless you, man's words are powerful. God will bless you because they blessed you. I get the point. But God is not counting. Look at this verse. But I have all. Put up NLT. Just so that, because of our time, we are running already. And at the moment, look at this closely. I have all I need and more. I'm generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. So they sent him a gift, right? He said, all that. Now, verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply what? So what was he doing in this verse? He was praying for them. What was he praying for them? Verse 18. They sent him something. Are you getting the point? And God will do it. You find it again in 1 Corinthians, I think 9, verse 12. So, okay, check verse 14. I think I'm mixing up. I didn't plan to talk about this today, but God just said I should say it. Maybe because there is someone here. Go to 2 Corinthians. I think 2 Corinthians. There's someone here that may not be here next week. Can I explain this better? So let me just, I believe you need it. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 12. Now, I want to look at this. Look at this way. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. Can you see? What are the good things? What are the two things? The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. What is the second one? They will joyfully express their thanks to God. So you see what happens when I give? Needs are met. What's the second one? They thank God. Is it not glad to know that your pastor can kneel down and is waving his hand to heaven because of your money? Not just your pastor. You see a woman that is in need, she can become grateful to God just because you gave her 10,000 naira. It's called a good thing. But that's not just what will happen. Continue. Verse 12, verse 13. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers, we prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Now verse 14 is where I'm going to. And they will what? With what? Yeah. They will pray for you with what? Why will they pray with deep affection? You gave them something. I see how blessings. So I'm not saying there is no blessing that comes from giving. That's why when you give in this church, expect to be blessed. You know why? Because we will pray for you. Are you what I'm saying? Expect to be blessed. But what we are not teaching is that God's goodness is dependent on how much you give him. No, that's not true. Are you still here? That's not true. So you see, so that's not how God blesses us. I'm skipping a lot of things for this because that's why God doesn't bless us, you see, because of all that. Because we gave, or because we didn't give and all that. If there is any blessing that comes from God when we give, it's not now. There will be a judgment of Christ. Are you getting the point? You will be rewarded for all the things that we have done. Are you getting me? We'll be rewarded. You know about the judgment seat, right? It's not a place that will determine whether you go to heaven or go to hell. I hope you know that. Have I explained that yet? Have I? 1 Corinthians 3. You know, we call this holy digression. He's holy, he's of God. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 12. Let me see, I didn't plan to read that too. Yes, look at this. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. Next verse. But on the judgment day, look closely, don't miss this verse. On the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has what? Any value. Verse 14. If the work survives, what will happen to the builder? That builder will receive what? Now verse 15. But if the work is burned up, What will happen? The builder will suffer what? What did he say? The builder will be bought. So it's not talking about the builder going to hell. You get the point? Your work will be rewarded. But that reward is not heaven. Heaven is for people who believe in Jesus. Are you listening to me? But when we get there, all the things we are doing for Christ, our giving, our ministry, will be rewarded. If you do not do anything, God will not say, I'm sending you to hell. He said your works will be burnt up. And next week I will address this, because even in giving, you see, sometimes your motive for giving is more important than the giving. And when you begin to give because you want God to give you back, what is your motive? Selfishness. Is it not true? When the reason I'm giving is, sir, I have this need. I want to pass this exam. So I'm just going to come and drop this. You see, you are not giving to that brother because you love him. You are giving to him because of yourself. In other words, if you don't have any need, you will not give. And that's selfishness. You get the point? So God blesses us. Our giving will be rewarded. But that's not how God blesses us. He doesn't wait until you give. He doesn't wait until you do something. He doesn't respond to your goodness. He's good. The Bible said, caring is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us first. You get the point? So our love is only a response to His love. I get the point. Why do we love God? Because He loved us first. So He doesn't love us because we love Him. Are you guessing what I'm saying? God does not react. Well, should I have to go that far? God doesn't react. I'll still come to the nature of God again, maybe before the end of this year. Thoroughly, the character of God, I'll come back to it again. And I'll answer many questions we've been seeking answers to. Who does Sodom and Gomorrah? I'll answer all those questions. It's not God, because a good work cannot do something bad. Hello? But not now. But in that series, I will address this and I said, now, God does not react. You think God is just sitting in heaven and what we do on earth can make Him move? What do you think God is? I think I said this when I was talking about prayer. Prayer is not moving, it's not to move God. Remember I said that? It's not to move God. Same thing, your giving will not make, so you think heaven is just quiet and say, I'm not giving to this sister, I don't like her. And then this sister say, hey, you don't want to give to me. Okay, just give you 10,000. Bah! You say, hey, Jamaica, hello. This one is mad. Bless her. No. Doesn't react like that. Hallelujah. And so, how I'm going to close today is, how does God prosper us? I'm showing you it's not by wealth transfer, it's not by our giving. How does God prosper us? What is God's prosperity? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 28. How does God prosper the believer? There are two major ways, actually. Read from the screen. 1, 2, 3, go. Come on. Be looking at your neighbor and be reading it. If you are a thief, what did the Bible say? Quit stealing. So that tells you, first of all, in this verse, that how God will prosper us is not by illegal whatever. You get the point? You cannot be doing drugs or doing G and you are saying, Oluwa, bless my husband. There's nothing to bless. If you're a thief, quit stealing. And I know why I'm emphasizing, because this has even crept into the church. Even among sisters, I've heard sisters, believers, not here anyway, brag. Say, God just gives me anything I want. I don't lack. And I don't lack, she's talking about guys. I don't lack. God has the word providing for me. What I just need it, I just know who to call. If you're a thief. How many times I say if you're a thief? Quit. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. Change your ways. That's what I'm saying. But look at this. Instead, use your hands for good hard work. And so how God blesses us is by working. That's the first way. God wants us to work with our hands. And look at the kind of work He said we should do. Good. So the work must be good. King James, let him work with his hands. That which is good. So God blesses me by good works. You see, that's why Christianity is not a call to laziness. And this is what I'm going to talk about excellence shortly. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11. It's not a call to laziness. Let him walk. And so, how does God want me to prosper? 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11. How does God want me to prosper? God wants me to walk. He wants me to do something. Look at verse 11. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. Make it your goal. Number 12. Then people who are not Christians will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others. Make it your goal. And that's why some of you are under me, you know, even if you're under me and you're a student, I will still tell you to find something doing. If you're close to me, you'll know. Not something that will take over your academic or whatever, whatever. But something that would at least sustain you. I, because I know some of us, you do not come from such a ritual. You know, I've heard of some homes where they want to go back to school, they're fighting. Daddy, 8 letters will not be enough for me. If you don't make it 1 million, I'm not going back. I know of such homes. Some of you are not from there. If you are from there, congratulations. Amen. But you see, even if you are from there, responsibility demands that you come to a point where you begin to work with your own hands. You see, so God does not expect you to depend on others. Is that very clear in that verse? He said you will not depend on others. So if I depend on others now, let it just be temporary. Are you getting the point? Walk. Walk. That's how God wants you to prosper. In 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10. 2 Thessalonians, not first now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2 and verse 10. We're going to read 10 to 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. He said, even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to walk will not get to eat. Next verse. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to walk and meddling in other people's business. And that's how people are. Once you are not walking, they're busy. Go away, they did not send you. Gossiping all over the place. And that's why, even when you get married or your wife here, get something. I know sometimes the motherhood can be very demanding and all that. You see, but then, have one or two things you are doing. It will save you from meddling into people's affairs. Because when you start at home and you don't know what else to do, the kids have gone to school, you're just at home alone. You start looking for who to talk to. And you now form some kind of congregations where you see 3-4 women, they come together, discussing their husband. My husband bought me this fine shoe. They're not true. Lie. You see this shoe, eh? Dubai. When he brought back the receipt. And you see, this is that dangerous. Because once you begin to do that, your mind begins to tell you that your husband is not right. You know what I'm saying? And what led you to that kind of company? You were idle. You had nothing to do. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he's begging you in Jesus' name to settle down and walk to end their own living. Help me tell them, say, settle down. Walk. Settle down. And on this, I'm going to talk about something. I know some of you are still job hunting and all that, but while I was praying yesterday, it's been what I've been emphasizing, but God brought it to me afresh. I wrote it in my notes. After I prepared the message, God just said, keep this, and I just wrote it somewhere around. He said, a lot of you are struggling and looking for jobs and all that, whereas you don't know that there is God's involvement in everybody's life. You see, everybody that was created, God gave you something. We call it talents. To say that you don't have any talent in life is to say that God is an irresponsible person. I don't think. There is something. Some of you, you're struggling and going around looking for jobs. God said, I wrote my note, if only you can nurture and put to use some of the talents that God has, some of the abilities God has given you, it will provide for you. You see, there are many people like that in the Bible. And God wants you to put those things to use. Put them to use. There are many ways to use your talent. One of them is you can monetize it. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Another way is to bring it to church and use it in church. That's why, for instance, you're a singer, you should use it in the choir. You get the point? You have a creative mind, you have creativity, you can act drama. But beyond those things, you can also find yourself monetizing those things. God wants you. Bible said you give up a man. I get the point? Make way for him. And that's why you see some of you, you need to go and, you know, some of you, I was praying over last night, and the Lord said, some of you, there are some talents and abilities you knew you had. You were doing those things when you were younger. But as you begin to grow up, you discarded all of them. He said, as I shall begin to talk this morning, those things will come back to your head. You might need to go and nurture them again and put them to use. Let me get a point. Because, you know, this is our country. You are fresh out of school. And, you know, once you come out from school, your mind is telling you that because you made it 2-1, that you just go out there now and one job is waiting for you. You now be walking up and down, carrying fire, carrying. And sometimes, you see, your first interview, you always come in with confidence. You have a 2-1. After the interview, they say, we'll get back to you. You go for another one. They say, don't worry, we'll get back to you. Some of them even send you a test. We are so impressed with you. But we are sorry to inform you that we cannot carry on again. And then you can get you depressed. While you keep applying, there are things you can put your hands to do. Some of you ladies, even guys, you are good at baking. And you find that some of you didn't have to struggle to learn it. It just came natural. Some of you, you started baking without anybody teaching you. You get the point? If you can develop some of those things can pay you. I'm telling you the truth. If you can develop some of those things in your own little way. And I'm not saying wait till you have a very big bakery. You see, God's way is that you start small and you end big. That's God's way. Even the kingdom, the Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed put into the ground and then it grows into a giant tree. You get the point? You hear, you're a singer, you're a writer. Some of those things are things that God has given you. So turn them into something. And you are sitting at home complaining, life is just hard, life is wicked. You are naming life. And guess what? Those things you say life is, life will be it for you. Because you are naming life. God did not call life wicked. You did. And because we must find out in confession of faith, you will not have what God say. You have what you say. Did you hear what I say? It's not what God says that you will have. Say, once God has said this to happen. No, the Bible said, you shall have whatever you say. You say life is wicked, life will be wicked. Are you still here? So think of putting those things to use. Some of you, you know, it could be anything. It could be making hair. It could be anything. And as we're going to begin to pray this morning, God will bring some ideas to you. Act on them. Some of you, you code, you deserve. And while you are in school, even before you graduate, these things can help you and get you established. Some of you, you can market. While you are walking up and down looking for a marketing job, you can think of setting up any small thing to start marketing. All I'm saying is you cannot sit down and be complaining over life. God's system of blessing is that you should get something to him. Work. And on this point, on this note, I want to talk about excellence. I said it's a motto of excellence, right? Do your work. Don't just do your work. Do your work excellently. Whether you've been employed in a company, or you're going to be employed tomorrow. Some of you are teachers. Do your work excellently. Sir, is this one part of spiritual teaching? Very, very spiritual. But I've told you guys that, you see, we are sojourners on earth. We are not people from here. Remember I said that? And we must do our things differently from people who are on earth here. Do your work excellently. Let me show you. Romans 12 verse 11. Ooh. What is excellence, for instance? That word excellence, where you take it in the word excel in the Greek, is the word hupabol. Does it remind you of anything? Hupabol. What does it remind you? Or hupabole. What does it remind you? Hupabalu. You remember? That's the word we see. Exceeding. Hupabalu. So, when we talk about the word hupabol, it means to exceed. You know, the way I wrote it in my notes, the way the Greek puts it, to exceed that which is required. So, when they say that this is the standard, you go beyond it. And I want to charge you, that's one of the ways God said I should close today. I want to charge you to do your work and be excellent at it. Are you getting the point? And let me say this to you. You see, excellence is not competition. I'm not saying start competing with people. In fact, once you start competing with people, you cannot be an excellent person. You will never feel satisfied with yourself. Because at every point in time, there is always somebody better than you. I get to the point. It's not competition. The Bible says comparing themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Are you still here? We don't compete. Excellence is not... And that's why I want to say this. People say things like, you see, the church, look at what they're doing. But if you look at the world, don't compare us with the world. We're not the same thing. Don't try that kind of thing here. Don't say, when they're playing ball in UEFA, they do this. But here in church, we are not copying them. I get the point. We're not competing. Excellence, so if I'm going to define excellence from the word of God in a very simple way, excellence is to live up to God's standard. Write this down, I will explain it later. To live up to God, to do things at the standard of God, with God's standard. And one of the things you must note from the Bible is that excellence is a spirit. And when I say it's a spirit, I'm not saying it's the Holy Spirit or an evil spirit. You know what I mean by spirit? Not spirit in, as in church spirit, spirit. But they say, I like that guy's spirit. What does it mean? Eh? Vibe. Okay. Like, he talks about how a person is. You get the point? If I do, I put it in my notes. I say, it's not like spirit of God. A person's prevailing quality. I like his spirit. I like his way. Excellence is a spirit. It's not just about... That's why I said excellence is not about, like in church now. Excellence is beyond having flashlights, decoration lights, and all that. Those things have a part. There's a place of excellence in that. But excellence is, first of all, a spirit. It's a way of life. Something you are known for. Let me show you. Daniel chapter 6 verse 3. That's where the Bible talks about the spirit of excellence. Daniel 6 verse 3. So I've read that spirit of excellence and think that what the Bible is saying is that the Holy Spirit and excellence spirit. No. The spirit in that place is not talking about spirit as in Holy Spirit or evil spirit or human spirit. No. It's talking about a person. Look at what it says. I put up King James. That's where I explained it. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because what happened to him? An excellent spirit was in him. You see, he had this excellence in him. And let me explain to you what that excellent spirit is. Chapter 5 verse 12. You see where they explain what they meant by an excellent spirit being in Daniel. Look at what they meant. For as much as an excellent spirit and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, we are found in the same Daniel. So you see, when he talks about an excellent spirit, he's talking about he excelled in the things that he was doing. He was knowledgeable. In interpreting dreams, he was the best. You see, that's why, you see, that's excellence. So you see, when you have an excellent spirit, it means to excel in everything, to do everything you do, top notch, God standard. And I'll show you. So excellence, when you have it in you, when you cultivate an attitude of excellence, it will reflect even in how you do your work in church. Like if you are in the choir, if you're a singer, and you have this excellent spirit, you will know you cannot just come up with anything. Like the choir is rehearsing, and they say, we didn't do that. We say, hey, let's manage it like that. That's not excellence. Okay. I get the point. To do top notch. Oh, you are sewing clothes. You're a tailor. Okay, not a tailor. You're a fashion designer. And then you just make one mistake. You say, no, let's just leave it like that. That's not an excellent spirit. You must do your job with excellence. And listen, and I said, it is to live up to God's standard. You see, so you find out in your marriage, you can be an excellent person. And excellence in marriage is what did the Bible say concerning my marriage? That will be my standard. Anything below God's standard is not excellence. I get what I'm saying. But it is over my marriage. For instance, what he said over your marriage, for instance, is forgiveness. So whenever you begin to see bitterness creeping, that's not an excellent marriage. Are you still here? You know, I told God, God is an excellent God. I told somebody, see, God said, if you want to check whether God is excellent, just come outside, look at nature first. I get what I'm saying. Look how beautiful nature is. After looking at nature, look at the believer in Christ. Look at the perfect creature he made. Righteous, holy, spotless. That's excellence. And that's how you must do your things and conduct your work. God's standard. Romans 12 verse 11. I quoted it before. Do you have New American Standard Bible? You have it? NASB. Come up with it. Romans 12 verse 11. Put up King James first before we start looking for that one. You must do your work excellently. You must do your work excellently. Okay, you have it? Wow. Glory. Okay. 12 verse 11. That's not verse 2. Verse 11. Not lagging behind in what? No, you see, the way he just put it is not slothful in business. That's excellence. That's God's standard. God's standard is that your business, you should not be slothful. NSB calls it not lagging behind in what? Diligence. So, for instance, in your workplace, diligence is God's standard. And that's excellence. I get what I'm saying. Diligence is God's standard. What does it mean to be diligent? What does it mean to be diligent? Don't look at your Bible. English. What does it mean to be diligent? It means to work with care and conscientiousness. You know, when you're a conscientious person, like, I mean, you do your work with care, you see, and see, your work, do it well, and you are thorough at your work. You are thorough at it. You are thorough at it. You do it perfectly well, on time, thoroughly. And that's what some of you see in your place of work. They say you must be at work by 8 a.m. See, be there. Be a diligent person. You see? And that's where, like in church, now that's where beauty comes and say, the creation should be fine and all that. Why? Because we should be diligent. Nothing less of that. Do your work well, thoroughly well. You see, we talk about the choir, we talk about the ushers. Everything should be top notch. Why? Because we should be excellent. And carry it over to your place of work. And I need to pick some of you over this few months again. I'm going to say it again. You start working in a bank. Before 7 o'clock, you've left your house. You are in the shop, that in the office. They're paying you 40,000, 80,000. But then you own your own business. You'll be sleeping at home till 1:30. And you get up and open the door. Who is even coming today? Nobody will come. You're not a diligent person. I know people can smell diligence when they come around you. When they come into an office, they're sure that is not excellent. They can smell it. And what they smell is they will go. You may not know why they're going. God teaches excellence, diligence. Say, I'm a diligent person. And some of you are students in your academics too. The reason you're not doing well is you're not diligent. You're not excellent. I'm not talking about having an excellent result. I mean having an excellent lifestyle. Like what I'm saying? That's the spirit of excellence. Sleep takes over you. And ask some of you, if you're excellent, if you're a diligent person, he should already tell you that it's not everything you want to do that you must do. Say, sir, now I want to sleep. So that you should want to sleep, you stay awake. And this lack of diligence is even showing up in your spiritual life. That's why you cannot fast. Once you want to fast, hunger comes. Once you want to pray, something is pulling you. Be a diligent person. Have some grit. I know what I'm talking about. Be a diligent person. And that's how God will prosper you. What I'm saying is, God prospers through our work. God cannot be trying to prosper you. And you are using your stupidity to cancel everything. We stay in church. Men are coming to you. Men are coming to you. Men will prefer you. And those people now prefer you and come. And your irresponsibility will chase them away. They will never come back. Hallelujah. You want to prosper? You see, everything, Bible tells us, whatsoever thing your hand finds to do. You are a musician, you want to go and do a song. Don't go and bring out anything for us. You see, the days of Patio Basi has gone. Don't bring that kind of thing out again. Patio Basi, great singer, great writer. But you know, if he was to produce those songs today, they'll be better than that. I hope you know. And then you that is living in the 21st century, 2019, you produce something that only you and your family members can listen to. And they're listening to it because they're pitying you. They don't want you to feel bad. Be excellent at it. I get what I'm saying. Don't finish sewing clothes and you're explaining to your customer. Say, it's fine though. You see, why are you explaining it? He said, where's the pocket? Say, this kind of person doesn't have pocket. You forgot to put the pocket. been a diligent person. And you cannot prosper in your endeavors like that. Everything, that's one thing. You see, once you start working with me in this church, I will not let anything slide. You get the point? Nothing should slide. For instance, now some of you need keyboard, drums. You see, if you are doing a song, score it perfectly. What did I say? Score it perfectly. Don't just say anything. It's not just once it rhymes. No, we're not like that. We're not like that. Do your job well. Do your job well. Neatness, punctuality. And I'm warning, especially if you're running a business, don't turn your business to a playground. You see, there are places the governor's wife cannot go to sew her clothes. There are other places she will go and sew the clothes. They're sewing the same thing. One is just diligent, the other is not. We call it packaging. You see, it's not just about packaging, but when you're an excellent person, you'll package too. I get the point. Express diligence at what you do. Be an excellent person. You're a writer. You want to publish a book. Don't just publish anything and start convincing us to buy it. We'll not buy it out of pity. Typographical errors all over the place. They get you a design, the cover page of your book. You know, you just say, and anything just goes. If you're a designer, see, don't design anything. And you see, and that's one thing. One of the ways to attain this, when you have an experience, how to attain diligence, attain excellence, is you must always be improving yourself. You get the point? Let nobody catch. And you see, you know, do you know, as a pastor, I do my work excellently well. I hope you know that. At least my work is to teach and to preach. I take my time, I study. Sometimes you come around, I'm staying up, sometimes 3 a.m., 4 a.m., I'm on my Bible. I have to be diligent at it. I cannot gather all of you from everywhere you came from. Like Zoe now, people will come from everywhere, Abuja, Lagos, everywhere for Zoe, and then they come, I'm serving them trash. Because I was just irresponsible, I could not sit down and study. I don't get what I'm saying. There should be diligence in ministry too. Don't just want to preach. No, I want to preach. Just sit down here. Say, hold on. What's that? Just write one or two points and I say, And I now imagine scriptures from your head doing sandwich. Get the point? You're quoting a lot of things from your head. Things that you don't even know. So as a pastor, I have to show you diligence at my work. And why I'm showing it, it's not just for you to be blessed. It's for you to be blessed, first of all. But to also learn that diligence from me and transfer it to your workplace. The way I stay up trying to make sure that the Greek word is the Greek word. Are you getting the point? And I thoroughly explain the verse perfectly well. And I'm giving the prayer. That's the same thing you should carry over to your spiritual life and then to your workplace. Face the work well. Be an excellent person. Don't just give us anything. Because you see, those of us that are friends in church, we can manage anything you are giving us. But people out there cannot manage. And if you get the time, we can no longer manage it. You say you're a makeup artist, we give you our face, you turn us into something else. And then what we want to do waiting, they are wondering why we are not calling you. We can't call you. Come and taunt my wife to Jugalaba. She just passed, say, wow, where is she? I saw some wearing wives that passed. Why is she with my wife's wedding gown? Where is the wife? And I've seen these things. I've seen some wedding makeups that you look at and say, wow, God is faithful. Now I went with someone to somewhere and they finished making her up. They just came back and called me, says, I don't know how I look. I don't know how I look. I want to clean it. I'm just waiting for this girl to go. Let me clean it. She paid for it. Then the girl left. She went inside, but washed her face. Said, let me just carry my face like this. And that's because, and you wonder, you think they will call her back again? I know what I'm talking about. Your camera person, anything you are doing, let's have excellence. And I'll start seeing it here in church. That's why you notice some of you that some of you in the usher, we are setting seats. You cannot say this one back, this one front. I will always bring it back. You notice? Let them be straightened out. They must be in the same line. Then I watch all those things. And just come out one seat is that, and see, that's what you see. Notice, the ushers are trying, but they'll get better. And I'm saying it for you too. I'm going to digress a little. You come to church, they say sit here. You can't sit behind there. No, we're not like that. Sit where they told you to sit. Are you getting me? Not sit at the back. That one person here, one person there. No. One, two. Everything should be top notch. God is an orderly God. Remember? God is an orderly God. And he must express that excellence. So God wants me to prosper. How he will prosper me through my work. so I will do it excellently well. I get the point. And so you are here. I'm going to charge you to pick up something and start working on it. I get me. Pick up something. What are you even doing? Pick up. Some of you are in school. You cannot really. But just start those things. And there are some persons say, thank you, Jesus. And when you were in school, there are some things you were doing that was giving you money. But you left school and you left all those things. Because you now want to swim in deeper waters. And since the water has swallowed you, you have not even come out here now. You might need to get back and pick up those things. They look small, but with the wisdom of God, you can expand them. And that's the wisdom I'm praying over your life this morning. Are you getting me? You can expand those things. Make them come out big. You are told you're waiting for admission, and someone has told you that you must go to school before you start doing something. Okay, get to work. Be doing something. Earn something. Let him that does not work, let him not eat. God doesn't want you to live your life dependent on others. And then the second way God blesses you, and this is what I'm going to pray for you for, is that he, you know, I call it supernatural supply. How many of you believe in that one? And there are, before I call it supply, okay, I call it the supernatural generally. Supply is just a part of it. That supernatural, that it happens in two ways. One of them is supernatural intervention in your business. That's what I want to tell you. You see, as believers, how many of you believe that we can bring God into our business? If the occult can bring that juju into their business, we can bring God into our business. Is that not true? And as I'm praying for you, and I'm declaring over your life, you see, the works of your hand will be blessed. They will be blessed. They will be blessed. That's God prospers. So see, God loves you to walk. And when you walk, he can intervene supernaturally. That's why you find out you just be getting promoted anyhow. In your place, you see, when you are selling or something, people will just, that's why if you are running a business and it's not doing well, see, and you know you are doing everything you have to do, but it's not doing well. I know your problem. Your problem is simple. You've not involved the supernatural in your business. Get to work tomorrow or from this night. Begin to speak over that business. Not just once. Start praying over it. How many of you have ever run a business or run a job or something before and you found out you prayed over it and the thing increased? Has that happened to you? If you ever prayed over, you see, somebody shared, I'm going to share this testimony on Facebook soon. Person sent me, said, I got prayer for, remember prayer for us? He said, just a guy doing graphic design and all that. He said, he listened to that prayer first and listened to it. And he said, at the time, he said, I decided to start believing God. He said, let's start from 150,000. So he told God, I want a job this month. Jobs this month worth 150,000. He sent me up 2 days ago and told me, see, he listened to that message more than how many times. He'll be listening, he'll be praying with it. He said, this month alone, it has exceeded that. He said, as I'm talking to you, my hands are full. I don't even know, I can't sleep again. So much work to do. And it has exceeded that money. Many have paid up front. I get the point. You can invoke, and that's God wants to intervene in your business and bless it. He wants to intervene. I'm going to pray for that for you. And the works of, you see, November, I told you that's why I said November, December is our month, November, month of excellence. We're going to be excellent at the things we do. And you will see God's hand show forth in those things. Bless the works of your hand. That small thing you started, it will not end small. I know what I'm saying. It's not end small. It just started around your neighborhood, but it will increase. God wants you to be blessed. He wants to intervene in your work. Of course, the second part of this supernatural is the supernatural supply, where people can give to you. You know, God can cause people to give to you, right? I've seen that one. Believers and unbelievers alike. And so, let me say this to you. Start praying and believing God for them. And that's that prayer I've been praying for you over some time now. Your men will not be few. The men that will be there to give to you, they will not be few. They will not be few. You will find out there will be a lot of people willing to bless you supernaturally. All of them. And sometimes they'll just say, I don't even know. I just started to send this money to you. And as I'm talking to you, there are people, your money is hanging somewhere, you've worked, that are owing you. Or somebody just said, I'm talking to someone. Every time someone says, I'm going to favor you, I'm going to send something to you. Before the person sends it, something happens. Maybe his business goes down or something happens. See, that thing is a manipulation of Satan against your finance. Don't just start forming scripture here. Stand against that thing. I get what I'm saying. Stand against it. He said, does Satan care if I have money or not? He doesn't want you to have. Why? Because people like you, when you have money, ministry will prosper. I get the point. So people like you, when you have money, the world can have it. But you see, if you have it, you know, if you have 1 million, we might not be here by now. And Satan knows too. Are you getting me? So involve God in your finance. There is supernatural supply for you this month. Are you getting what I'm saying? We're going to verse our work excellently well and the supernatural supply. I want to show you just two scriptures and we'll begin to pray. Genesis 6 verse 12. I saw this last night and it blessed me. Genesis 6 verse 12. Oh, sorry, Genesis 26 rather. Genesis 26 verse 12. Genesis verse 12. Are you looking at the screen? Now Isaac sowed in that land, just NLT, and reaped in the same year. Okay, he planted his crop that year. He harvested 100 times he planted. And this is coming for you. Amen. Come on, touch your neighbor, say 100 times more. And I'm praying it over your life. You will have 100 times more. You will have. I'm telling you, you will have 100 times more than what you invested. You cannot come into this year with ₦1 million and the year is ending. Don't have up to 200,000. You have it 100 times more. And it's coming for you. He said he planted his crops that year. He harvested 100 times more grain that he planted. For the Lord blessed him. Oh, God's blessing is upon your life. You will have more. Look at verse 13. Verse 13. He became a very rich man. And his wealth continued to grow. Okay? Hello? His wealth continued to grow. He acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats, heads of cattle, and servants that the Philistines became jealous of him. You know, wealth can attract jealousy. And it's not for unbelievers only. Actually, it's for us. I get the point. God is good to everybody. But now I'm God's child. Everybody is not God's child. I hope you know that. Everybody is a creation of God. Some men are his children. I'm one of them. I get the point. I'm one of them. I'm God's child. You see, they become verse 15. Maybe just. So the Philistines filled up all Isaac's well with debt. These were the words that had been dug by the servant of his father Abraham. So they began to attack him. Does somebody say something? This is not a good statement. Let me not say it. This is stupid. So let me not say it. Go to verse 19. Because of our time. This will be the last. And we'll pray. Isaac's servant also dug in the Gera Valley. I want to show you something. Because some of you, I mentioned satanic manipulation over somebody's whatever. These things can happen. But I will show you how to overturn them from this story. You know, I told you guys, no demons can crumble people's business. Hope you know. And I told somebody this thing. It's funny, but it's true. You know, those demons told Jesus, send us into these pigs. And Jesus sent them. By Jesus sent them, that story means Jesus just allowed it. It doesn't mean Jesus did it. He just said, fine. The man, and I'll tell you who allowed it. He was the owner of the sheep or the pig. But I wanted to think of something. How many were those pigs? 2,000. And all of them ran into the river and drowned. That was an attack on his business. Don't you think so? 2,000 pigs. Calculate that now. The cheapest you can get one pig now is 50,000. One full grown pig. I get the point. And see, the demon said, send us there. This is where we want to be. And I tell you, the man that owned that business could have stood against those things. Just allow it. That's if you just play over your life. You see, you are doing a business, begin to involve God there. Don't just come there, come into your shop and say, ah, Father, who art in heaven? Hallowed be thy name, Boga. Start praying. Begin to pray and declare. Look at this. They discovered, the Isaac servants also dug in the Gera Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. Continue. But then the shepherds from Gera came and claimed the spring. These are what they say. And they argued over it with Isaac's headmen. So Isaac named the well Esek, which means argument. So he left it. Verse 21. These are some of us. Isaac's men then dug another well, but again there was a dispute over it. So Isaac named it Sitna, which means hostility. Continue. Abandoning that one, Isaac moved on and dug another well. This time there was no dispute over it. So Isaac named the place Rehoboth, which means open space. For he said, at last the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land. Continue. From there, Isaac moved to Beersheba, where the Lord appeared to him on the night of his arrival. I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and will bless you. I will multiply your descendants and they will become a great nation. I will do this because of my promise to Abraham, my servant. Okay? Then Isaac built an altar there Watch this. And worship the Lord. And set up his camp at that place. And his servants dug another well. Verse 26. Now, notice he had left their town. He left Beersheba. He went to Beersheba. And started a new life. Because of the Lord. And the Lord told him. He said, I will prosper you. He set up an altar there. Of course, that means he prayed. I get the point now. Now, one day, this after he has left their town for them, King Abimelech came from Gerar with his advisor, Ahuzat, and also Phicol, his army commander. Why have you come here? Isaac asked. You obviously hate me since you kicked me off your land. You see, they sent him out. He left their land for them. They now came for him. See, that's why when there are some attacks and hostilities that you don't just take for granted. So they came to him, continue. They replied, we can plainly see that the Lord is with you. And so he said, so we want to enter into a sworn treaty with you. Let's make a covenant. The guys that kicked him out, they came back for that covenant. You see, all those attacks on your business, even people that has left you, let's pray today. Are you getting me? Let's trust God for it. They will come back. They will ask for a relationship. You know why? They will see that the Lord has blessed you. And how to do it is, when you dig the well and they come for it, you dig another one and they come for it, just listen what is God saying. Some of you, God will tell you, leave what you are doing now. Just go to the other place. I will prosper you there. You get the point? Some of you will say, just stand against this thing. But I know God's prosperity can rest on us. It's not by seeking people's money or being covetous. It's by working with our hands, working excellently well, and then trusting the Lord to intervene supernaturally on those things. And let me close by this warning to some of you. Some of you have trusted the Lord so much for financial whatever, and then sometimes you saw it, other times you didn't see it, and it's beginning to make your heart lose faith. That is the devil trying to steal what God wants for you. Because once you begin to lose faith, here, everything is gone. Are you what I'm saying? God is a good God, is he? As I'm praying for you, this month you will do your work excellently well. And God's blessings will be on that work. His blessing will be on it. His hand will be on it. It will be evident to all men that the Lord has, stand your feet, that the Lord has blessed you. It will be evident to them that the Lord has blessed you. Go back to that Genesis 26. I want us to read verse 12. I want us to pray with it. And Joseph entered the house of Potiphar, and the Lord blessed that entire house because of him. When Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted. See, don't you see? This is not about, you know. He said, "This Old Testament, don't talk like that too." How many of us believe we can have 100 times more? How many believe? 100 times more than everything you've made this year. 100 times more than everything you've invested. The only way is up. You cannot go down. And so if you have invested, you see, I know energy has been, you've been putting in energy, you've been putting in hard work. This is both an instruction, correction, and also an encouragement for you. Some of you, it's a correction, as if you've not been doing your work excellently well, you have to put in a little more excellence to it. And some of you that have not been involving God, you've not been praying over your business. Don't pray once. Pray and pray and pray and pray. Are you getting what I'm saying? Involve God in that business. You are working in that school. Hey, listen, let me tell you a story. Happened recently. That's why I say, don't allow money to consume. One of us, one of my friends, my daughter, she's in this place, not in this church, but she's in this center. But she's a member of our church. She got 2 offers. The first offer was to work with a bank, which obviously had a higher pay. Then the other offer was to work with another company that was not even known like that, with a lower pay. So she prayed. Of course, you know, it's a tempting thing, right? And the Lord said, no, go to that place. I'm not saying God always gives you small things. I get the point. But the Lord said, go there. She stepped into that place. After, worked there for like 1 month. I think 1 month plus now. One day, the boss wrote a proposal to take someone. And she was like, man, this proposal is not too good. She writes. Say, it's not too good. Let me make something better. Nobody asked her. She made something better and showed the boss. Boss was like, wow, this is good. You wrote something else. This is one I didn't know you could write. And then, boom, after some time, the boss got a contract down it now. A contract outside the work. Outside work. You see, to work with a big firm. And they said, you should develop a website for them. And he said, I know one content. And I asked him, do you have a content developer? I didn't get the point. He said, I know somebody. This is off her normal work. She's doing the work. This one is going to pay her in hundreds of thousands. I get the point. The Lord blessed that work. And that's why you listen to leaders. Sometimes maybe you're just working in your office. You might go out of your way to do one or two things. Doors will open for you. And I heard the Lord say to me, it will not be one opportunity, but multiple opportunities for you. Multiple opportunities. Multiple opportunities. I believe God. 100 times more. Amen. It has started for us. That's what we mean by increase. Increase. 100 times more than we ever invest. 100 times more than we ever invest. So I'm not just saying this for us to pray and you can sit down. We are going to pray and we're going to get to work. Are you getting me? As we are praying, we are trusting God for supernatural supply. We are trusting God for ideas. We are trusting God for wisdom. We are trusting God to prosper the little things that we invest our money to do. Yes. And hey, I heard it clearly. And those things are not little. I said, I should tell you, stop referring to your shop as one small shop. It's not one small business I'm doing. It could be, you can, if there's anything to call it young. It's not small, it's just a young business. It will still grow. Something big is coming your way. You get what I'm talking about? God believes, I believe in supernatural supply. And from this day, as I drop this mic, angels will begin to walk. Causing men to walk in your favor. Causing things to see a logo barata. Causing men to favor you. Causing men to listen to you. And I heard it clearly. He said, I will order your footsteps. You will be at the right place at the right time. You will meet the right people at the right time. He said, I will order your footsteps. Some of you believe that. Pray with this verse. Go ahead and pray. 100 times more. Let me hear you. 100 times more. 100 times more. I will order your footsteps, says the Lord. I will order your footsteps. I will order your footsteps. I will order, you will meet men. Men that will give to you. Take this very serious. You'll be complaining over your finance. This is the time to act in the right direction now. Bring it up. You've been complaining over your finance. I want to hear you pray. You've been complaining over your finance. This is the time to act on it. Jesus told them, how many of you by worrying has added anything to your life? So you've worried and complained all this time. This is the time to do something about it. Some of you, this prayer will provoke men your direction. Angels will begin to walk, steering the hearts of men to act and to work in your favor. Steering the hearts of men. Oh yes, thank you, Jesus. Debts are being cleared. Bring it up. Debts are being cleared. You are in so much debt, you are owing so many people. Those debts are cleared supernaturally. You begin to sense an influence. And look at the word, the instruction. The Lord said, as this money begin to come, begin to spend them on clearing your debts. He said, more will begin to flow in. More will begin to flow in. Debts are being cleared. There is supply. Increase. 100 times more. I wish I can hear you pray. 100 times more. Ideas are being given to so many of you. Ideas to expand. More things to do. More things to do. New steps to take. New strategies to embark on. New steps to take. New moves to make. I'm an excellent man. I'm an excellent man. Amen. I'm an excellent man. We walk in excellence. There are dormant accounts that will be reawakened from this meeting. Dormant accounts. You might need to check on them again. You will not be blessed because you are just hearing these words. You have to start praying them too. Begin to speak them over your life. Some of you need to start praying over your parents. Some of you start seeking them from your parents. Your parents, men that give to you. Men providing for you, they will not be few. There will be many of them. There are financial miracles all over the place. I hear God say, ravenous pets. Ravenous pets. Ravenous pets. Bringing financial increase to you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.